Excellent. Great, great. Okay, very good. We've been having a great time, even at the hickory notch. So, you know, how good can it get, right? I want to start with a minor review this morning of just where we've been. There are two questions that are absolutely essential to the life of discipleship. Does anybody know what they are? And can you say them out loud at this time in this room? Right. Well, that's an excellent thought, but those are not questions, actually. That was a statement, right? But thank you. What is God saying to you? God, what are you saying to me? What do you want me to do about that? That's right. Those are the continual questions. Joan says, I knew that, right? Okay. We'll have public repentance later. All right. Those are the two questions that are in fact continual. And what are you telling me, remember, stands for repent. What do you want me to do about it? It stands for believe. First thing Jesus said in public ministry, repent and believe, because the kingdom of God is at hand. And you remember, too, it's the liturgical year is broken into those two halves, from the first Sunday of Advent to Pentecost Sunday is what is God telling you, what's God revealing. And from Trinity Sunday to the last Sunday before Advent, it is what do we do about it? And that's the season we're in now, what do we do about it season. And of course, there's nuances all along. However, those are the two main things. So I want to underline a little bit of that today because there is an extremely essential portion of your relationship with Jesus that opens the door for all of this. And without that essential ingredient, then you kind of miss what God may be saying or asking you to do. And it gets a little frustrating when that happens. And the order of these questions, what is God telling me and what does God want me to do about it, is very important. Of course, on the surface, that'd be very important. You have to hear something first before you do something about it. But it's also very essential in that the power and capacity to carry out what God is saying comes that way. What is it, and what step does anyone take, and carries with it the capacity to do that? So to receive it that way is very, very important. For example, today we hear, unless you give up all of your possessions, you cannot be my disciple. I want to thank you for not leaving upon hearing that read publicly this morning immediately. And it's an example of what we're talking about here. If you think God wants you to give up everything you own, go and sell everything you have, you will in fact be miserable, won't you? You'll miss all that. What do you do? Tuesday evening, you're standing around. Now what? All kinds of things will be going on because you did that. Unless God gave you the capacity to do that and the direction to carry it out to extend his kingdom. See, it's not just that you empty out. It's when you make space, something comes in. And what comes in is the power and capacity of God by what he speaks to you to carry out what he said. Very easy to read. Unless you give up all your possessions, you cannot be my disciple, and keep that at arm's length, not carry it out, and begin, if you don't mind my saying, developing the habit of not paying any attention to God at all. Not that any of us would do that. However, it's possible that that would go on. So not doing that means there is a way to carry out what God wants us to do. And that is by taking it in, receiving it in a certain manner. Remember, one of the things that King Saul learned was this. to obey is better than sacrifice. And it is very possible to hear something like, unless you give up all of your possessions, you cannot be my disciple, does not intend to ignore God, but to offer God something else other than what he asks. That's a sacrifice. And to obey is better than sacrifice. Okay, so this is where we're going this morning for the next couple of minutes. And I want to talk about how this might work. Unless you're prepared to give up all your possessions, you cannot be my disciple. And Jesus is talking about discipleship here. That's the key, if you will. That's the topic. And so you and I are called to be disciples. So when we're baptized, the sign of the cross is made on our forehead, and somebody says to you, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. So that's what you have. That's what you carry. The response to that, that opens up all that means, is a life of discipleship. And discipleship is what Jesus starts describing here in these black and white terms. Unless you hate your family and give up all your possessions and die to yourself every day, get up on the cross daily, you cannot be my disciple. Which is, generally speaking, it's the only thing he asks us in our lives, is to be his disciple. So this is how you do it. So he gives these examples. The example of someone wanting to build a tower. And he says, if you want to build a tower, you have to do a couple of things first. Get a budget, see if you can get the supplies and all that. He gives another example. Before taking steps of discipleship, this is another example of the king who wants to go to war against another king. The first thing you do is assess your military strength and see if you have a chance at winning this military campaign. There's some things to do first. So we can begin to draw the conclusion that before taking steps of discipleship, there are some things to do first. Even if you have decided, I'm going to be a Christian, I'm going to follow Jesus, then from that point, in between that point and the step of being a disciple, lifestyle of discipleship, there's something to take stock of, something to do. Something comes first. And it's this. You give up all your possessions. The way you do that is, what is the self-image you have? What do you have when you see yourself? How would you describe yourself? That is your closest, most tightly held possession, is your picture of yourself. Whether it's positive or negative, or whatever it may be. Even if your family tells you, you're actually this way, you know, you still hold very tightly and closely your picture of yourself. One of the most profound ways to take up the cross, to get on the cross, and give up all your possessions, is to put aside your picture of yourself and let God speak his picture of you into your heart. That is not a self-help strategy. That is a step for discipleship. And it is a death to self. Everybody okay? All right. So, you know, what's going on here is you're thinking around, well, I'm the kind of person who can do this and this, and I can do that. And when it comes to this area, this is how I am. And, you know, I've always been kind of this way, and this, so, you know, that's the way that it is. And what you see is what you get. and all this other kind of stuff. And, you know, if we get tough questions in a few minutes, we do have some mental health professionals that I think can help present here today. It's just what it is. And Jesus is aiming at that. And he's saying, well, yeah, okay, I made you. I understand. Before you were knit in your mother's womb, I knew you. And that's what I want to restore. And what I'm asking you to do is give up what you think of yourself and let me pour into you what I think of you. That's the foundation. That gets you into the life of discipleship. Now that flies against an awful lot of other things in our culture, and we can do a little bit of that if you like. When you possess a certain view of yourself, then the next step is you possess a certain view of God, which may be unhelpful. Yeah. And then you possess a certain view of the church, which may also be unhelpful. Let me give you an example, not that any of you hold this view of the church, but many people will look for a church that will fit what they need, the age that they are, what's going on in their life, the kind of lifestyle they choose to live, and they'll go to the church and say, do I like the preacher? Do I like the people? Do I like what they have for potluck? Do I like the building? Do I like the location? It's like on the short pump, you know? Do I like the store? No, I'm not going in. And that's the view of the church is it's there to build me up. Well, you will be built up in the church, but the process, the pathway into that is by first dying to yourself, letting Jesus speak into you what he's saying to you, getting the capacity to walk in that. And then moving together with the fellowship of people who are walking the same path. That is extremely encouraging beyond anything we know. One of the reasons that I say that is the function of prophecy is to encourage. And part of the leadership of a church is to have a prophetic portion. And that portion will edify you, prompt you, and build you up, encourage you. You receive that when you have died to yourself, taken on what Jesus is saying, and then beginning to move in that direction. That means you are open and able to receive the power and capacity and encouragement that he has to walk into what you were created to do and to be. Okay? All right. That seems to me like a good place to pause for a moment and see if you want to make any comments or raise any questions. Okay. All right, that's great. Oh, yes, Carol. Yeah, daily, all your life, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Now, there's a whole lot of other cultures equally where that's difficult. Yeah, good observation, that's right.
Thank you. Yeah.
I don't even think this applies to me.
Yeah.
It's not on my radar.
Yeah.
It's not important to me because there's other people that are doing it. And then there's this place like you, and I'm not good one thing about this. And I like to think, I think. So before I was called, before I was marked, before I was healed.
Yeah. Right. Very good. All right, great. Thank you, Missy. Okay, Jay. Right, so what's with that? Yeah, well, how come he says to hate your family and all of that? It's in the same line as possessions. It is the same topic. He says, unless this is the case, you cannot be my disciple. And a huge part of that is the way the Hebrew language operates and the Hebrew mindset, which is there's love and there's hate. So, he's saying, I need to be the center of everything. And everything else is, we translate in English as hate. It's not exactly mistranslated, it's just the best translation we can come up with. Yeah. It's very difficult to catch that cultural aspect of relationships. But the idea is you put Jesus in the center and everything else is around that. Yes, you can have normal, yes, please, and please do as deeply as you can, and your friends, and yes, that's right. Right, you start with Jesus, and everything else falls in line with that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very much, yes, all of that. Oh, that goes in, and we yeah, exactly. Yes. Great. All right, great, Jay. Thanks. Well, let me move on to the conclusion, and then we'll come to the Lord's table this morning. All of this success in the Christian life depends on what we've been talking about. Putting Jesus first, letting him speak first. Without that, success in the Christian life, in any area, is not attainable. Our ability, for example, as a church, depends on putting Jesus first. Our ability to serve the community depends on putting Jesus first. The dreams that God gave you, the gifts and talents and desire, to use things in the way that you have been created and the things you want to see fulfilled all depend on putting Jesus first. Martin Luther said, that which I held on to, I lost a long time ago. That which I gave to God, I still possess. What is God telling you about your possessions this morning? And what is he asking you to do? Please stand. Lord Jesus, we put ourselves into your hands so that you may be first in our life above all things. And we ask that you'd help us walk in that way all our days. Amen.